Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Hello and welcome to the Worst Idea of All Time, Episode 9 for this fourth season. Myself and Guy Montgomery are on a quest to watch Sex in the City, the movie, 52 times as quickly as possible. This is day 3 of a daily watch. Report in, Guy.
Yeah, we're certainly in the pocket right now, aren't we? We've set it into a good rhythm. Look, can I be honest? I was in quite a foul mood having watched this film, but I've just finished reading a Vanity Fair article in which our friends, the McElroy brothers, have fulfilled a quest to be a part of Trolls 2.
Huge.
McElroy brothers, of course, best known for My Brother and Me, affiliated with us through the Eternal podcast called Death to Us Blight. And I'm just, it's really put a spring in my step. And I look forward to slowly having the air let out of my balloon as we pour over this ninth screening of Sex and the City, the film. I've got reams of notes in front of me, Tim.
Do you?
A seriously solitary experience.
What I was thinking through pretty much this whole watch is I was just looking forward to jumping on the phone with you, bud. All I wanted to do was hang out with my boy Guy. And I wanted to throw the movie to the wind and just have a chat to you. Because this movie, you know, the fifth girl they say is New York. You're in New York City. You live there. I want to get the lowdown. How's it going? How's the move been? What's the situation with Monty?
Do you know that today, as I settled in for my third watch of Sex and the City,
in as many days,
I thought... you know, I could very well be in literally any city doing this. For the amount of time I spend in the house and down the local cafe, which I love, you know, I guess the value is in knowing the option is always there to be beyond New York. But I think, you know, the challenge in living here, half the battle, Tim, is in getting here, and then the other half is enduring being here.
Usually I don't like to sort of date the podcast with things that are happening, but you've already opened the McElroy's can of worms, because I'd like to bring to your attention that, isn't there a massive storm bearing down on you guys at the moment?
No.
Is that further south down the line?
I mean, in short, I've not heard hide nor... I spoke to one...
Do you know what's going to happen? Out the window that I can see behind you in this video conference call, it's just going to shatter and the place is going to flood because you've been tuned out to the news.
Nah, man. So I've only spoken to one other person today, and neither of us brought up the storm. I mean, that's interaction. I've had fleeting passing conversations with the barista at the coffee shop, and I believe when I was taking my seat at the coffee shop, I said to the person sitting next to me, "Oh, excuse me," because I had to sort of, you know, side hustle my way into my chair. I said, "I mean, don't worry about me. I'm drinking socially, so
you're
to speak."
You're chalking that one up to a win.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hydrated, but no, I think you got some misinformation there, Tim. The very reliable folks at the Apple Weather app reckon that from 6 a.m. through till all day tomorrow, there's a 40% chance of lightning. and presumably rain. It's very rare to get lightning without it. I will say this, very loud thunderclaps here and really impressive, you know, very American. They really go all out.
That fork lightning.
I don't know if the thunder knows where it is.
See, it's a brand new thing for Kiwi lads, isn't it? Because we get sheet lightning in the South Pacific, but they've got fork lightning. It's a lot more cinematic.
Yeah, the whole experience is more cinematic. And, you know, that's one of the things I love about living in New York City is all it takes is a stroll down the street and you feel like you're the lead character in your own film. As well you should. And that goes for people who are living anywhere, not just New York, because you well and truly are your own protagonist. But, Tim, I don't want to give you the satisfaction of hearing about the personal details of my life and sort of sidestepping the substance of this podcast, which is discussing the film. Do you want me to start with some opinions and you can bounce off those, or do you have anything in particular you'd like to say?
I don't have anything in particular I'd like to say about this movie.
Well, fair enough. I got a few points to raise. First of all, Runkle's tie that you spoke about in the last episode is fucking hideous. Oh,
what?
My God. That is honestly one of the nastiest pieces of fabric I've ever laid eyes on.
I am aghast. My good man, it is a beautiful pink tie upon a crisp white shirt.
No, it's absolutely a wonderful thing. Not. It honestly, and because I was enjoying Runkle, this movie, and I was thinking, same. This guy is a great guy. You always enjoy Runkle. You are Runkle's numero uno fan.
I'll talk to that in a moment, but let's get through the tie first.
Oh, anyway, I was enjoying it all, and then I saw him in that tie, and I was like, what is going on with you, man? Get it together. Because I never wonder what he does for a job. I've got no idea. And then as soon as I saw that tie, I became very cynical, and I thought it's quite a sinister tie. I was like, this guy...
Sinister?
Yeah, this guy sells, you know, wonky insurance policies. He shafts the little guy. He's up to no good. He takes long, wine-soaked lunches on a Tuesday.
This
is all just from the tie.
The pink tie that he's wearing, what does it communicate to you? Is it just the things that you've described? Some scummy, bottom-feeding, muck-raking...
Some guy, he's made
over
a lot...
everyone else to get mine. Guy.
Exactly. That's exactly... And this, I mean, and aside from that, this is a lovely, a caring husband, a marvelous father, truly a model partner, really, you know, amongst the absolute dire straits that the other girls are confronted with during the film. Runkle is
a pigeon among the pigeons, as I would say.
Yeah. yeah, that is what you'd say. And what I love is that a lot of people would know exactly what you're talking about. I certainly do.
He's a real pigeon among the pigeons.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's really throwing a pigeon amongst the pigeons. Of course, pigeons would react to that because I think they'd realize and recognize a domesticized bird and they'd probably gang up on them. I'd say it would be
especially throwing it into the mix because pigeons, like a lot of animals, I believe would have some sort of established pecking order, excuse the pun. And then to just throw another one in.
Immediate suspicion from the other pigeons. Ooh, I mean, that is not how you rock
amongst
up
the pigeons.
A genuine. Yeah, anyway, all of this was contained in the tie. And I was sort of looking forward to the tie the whole time because I was like, oh, I can't wait to see what Tim singled out for praise. But my God, man.
I just don't understand. Well, because you've told me about how the tie makes you feel. But what is it about the look of it specifically? Is it the shade of pink?
It's the shape and the pattern and presumably the fabric. It's a thick sort of chunky tie. It looks like it's made of silk or satin, possibly a blend. It's quite in profile, it's quite thick, thicker than I think it needs to be. And then it's sort of got like a sewn in imprint. It appears to be maybe slightly floral or some sort of pattern. And
But you're judging the tie by modern standards, guy, with the skinny tie is all in. Plus, we're two slender gents. We look better in a skinny tie. Runkle's got a bit of beef on him. He needs a thicker tie.
You could. This is not.
I'll give you the pattern though. I don't like the pattern. I paid more attention to it this watch after I really, nailed my colours to the flag last time. And I don't stand by the pattern, but I stand by the fact that it's a cool pink tie on a white shirt, and it looks good, generally.
Look, there is no denying that it is a pink tie on a white shirt, and I think it's probably best for both of us if we leave it at that, because I would also like to take this opportunity to issue an apology, not necessarily to you, but certainly to Charlotte. I came down pretty hard on Charlotte yesterday, it'd be fair to say. I'm just finding my observations about her in my notes. And first of all, I don't want to backtrack on anything I said about Miranda, but I watched the movie in a different light today, and there are elements of Miranda's behaviour which I find abhorrent, and I was blind to them yesterday for whatever reason, but I found her tough company this watch, and yesterday it was like I didn't even consider how selfish she is in her treatment of Big at the rehearsal dinner. I mean, you would never, no matter what you're going through personally, you should never cast doubt on the idea of marriage and lifelong matrimony at a rehearsal dinner, no matter what you're going through, unless you are having grave doubts about the connection of the friends or friend who's getting married to whoever.
Well, she wasn't.
It's just not done.
She was just projecting her own bullshit.
And it's terrible. And then beyond that, you know, her constant piggybacking her experience to everyone else's, you know, like she's so stubborn in her refusal to acknowledge or consider Steve, who was looking very cute in therapy today, by the way. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Your dress is flowing, huh?
Fucking heck. I mean, I would have taken him back right then and there if I could have.
Fucking heck is the most hilarious combination of those two words you could have selected.
Her refusal to even engage or acknowledge him in any way beyond as a father to Brady, and like the binary way in which he says everything, and then her persistence and Carrie apologizing, her constant lauding of her motherhood and career over her friends. It's at some point, you know, I feel like, I don't know, she's got to accept personal responsibility. And I feel like yesterday, in my blindness to some of these attributes, I sort of apportioned an unreasonable amount of frustration or blame on Charlotte. And I'd like to walk that back. I'd like to apologize to Charlotte. I would like to say, you know, we've all got work to do on ourselves. I'll be the first to say it. But, you know, that's when there is value in doing this the way we are, is that I feel like I'm seeing the whole picture.
Well, that's very big of you to, not Mr. Big, I might add. He would never self-reflect in the way that you have. But that's very good of you to just take a step back, take a breather, and reassess the assertions that you have cast on these characters by day. It's not even week by week, mate. It is literally one day at a time here at West Idea Industries.
One step at a time. There's no need to rush. It's like learning to fly or falling in love. It's gonna happen, baby, when it's supposed to happen, and we find the reason why. One step at a time. Couldn't tell you the artist, couldn't tell you the song title. Presumably One Step at a Time.
So good. I don't know who that was either, but the harmony that you produced suggests to me it was almost like a Hall & Oates kind of a number.
It was a big song, and obviously I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Can you Google that while I talk about Runkle? He's holding up a bottle of coconut water, folks. I wouldn't call that a bottle, sorry. It's a box. A box of coconut water to the camera.
Bit of Vita Coco today.
Timbo to see.
Let's see how that
how's
goes.
How's that treating you?
Well, I tell you, like, when I open it, you roll your sleeves up and put your fucking wrists and elbows into a bit of Runkle.
I'm doing it. The sleeves are up. Here's what I thought about Runkle today. In a world of femininity and female empowerment and strength, this woman-led, almost solely woman cast, really. The men don't feature a huge amount. Fuck. Do you know what I haven't actually thought about in this movie? Do you reckon this movie passes the Bechdel test? Because they are constantly talking about their dudes.
It's true, actually. That's a great question.
If it doesn't, I will be... I won't be that shocked, but I would be disappointed.
I'd be impressed.
For sure.
That is such a good question, because they are... There's one thing I noticed today as well, is it's like virtually all of the motives that are given to the characters in this movie are to do with their, you know, the relationships and the various states of disarray they are in. It's madness, really, isn't it?
I mean, I get that. It's Sex and the City. It's what the series and the books and everything's about. Anyway, I sidetracked myself. We'll go back, because I think the point we're in now is a better point. But let me just say this about Runkle, which is what I was leading up to. He is such an adorable man in this film. I love his loveliness. He's so, like, sweet. His delivery of "it is my lot in life to be surrounded by beautiful women" when he meets Carrie at the hospital, just it's stepping out
almost,
of the delivery room.
It almost makes you forget the tie. I agree. The guy is loaded with charm. And that's why I found the tie so upsetting today, is because it took the shine off what was otherwise a graceful and elegant display.
Describe the tie that would fit the man, the angel we know as Runkle.
By the way, it's Jordan Sparks, One Step at a Time. Ah. And the song was released in 2007.
It's so a far cry from Hall & Oates.
Lord knows how that's still rattling around 11 years later. And for no reason, I have so many song lyrics trapped inside of here.
Were you working in Top 40 radio at that point? Or was that after?
No. 2007. I'm in Wellington, man. I'm working at Monsoon Poon or something.
A restaurant as a server.
Yeah.
I reckon you would have been pretty good, but pretty cheeky. Very forward for a server, which I enjoy, but not everyone does.
Good analysis. There's actually a hangover of that I carry with me today, whereby I forcibly try and become friends with everyone who works in hospitality, no matter how little interest they have in it. And the ruder someone is to me, the more aggressively I will pursue their favor.
The ruder the fruit, the sweeter the fruit.
That's right. But
it's
the tie,
a real pigeon among the pigeons.
A tie for the man. Look, I can't describe a tie for Runkle that better. I just think it's a tie I don't notice. I have no real opinions on Runkle's sartorial decisions. You know, I think like a sound editor, you know, they've done a good job when you haven't noticed their presence.
Yeah, sure.
And that's where that tie fails.
It's too loud for you, guy. The tie's loud.
No, but I like loud. You know, you've seen me dress. I've come
under
fire
that's
from
why I'm
you
finding
for the way in which I dress.
Pretty incredible that you're dishing out very specific fashion advice for a film that is known for its fashion.
No, because that's critical of my fashion, which is pretty much inch perfect. It's more that it's not the loudness of the tie. It's the combination of things that I've already described. And I'd sooner move on, to be honest. I mean, I'll give it another outing tomorrow or whenever the heck.
I'd happily never talk about the tie again.
Well, there
you
go.
In fact, in some ways, I'm sorry I brought it up in the first instance. But should we get back to the validity of the Bechdel test to apply?
Well,
okay,
do you want to try and place a conversation that isn't centered around a man?
I'm doing it right now. I'm Rolodexing in my head. I'm trying to think of some time when they're talking about their jobs. Because do you know, my brain just flashed to Sex and the City 2, and I was like, oh, there's that bit when Miranda's in the board meeting at her work. I was like, no, it's the test is a conversation between two women. when they're not talking about a man, right? Is that the that's the test, right?
That is exactly the test. Maybe the scene where Charlotte, Samantha, and Miranda are talking about Mexican food. I don't quite know the particulars of the test when they talk about the pudding, because I know that they're not talking about a man, you know, during that part of the conversation. The broader scene or conversation as a whole, I think, touches on men. But that sticks out to me as a moment when they're discussing something aside from their partners. Otherwise, it's a challenging pull. How was your flight? When they all catch up, they say, how was, when at the very start.
And Samantha says, and I've noticed this every time, fabulous. And do you know what? That really speaks to me, because I started thinking to myself, I was like, man, when people ask me how my flight was, I would never say fabulous. And I need to start, fucking picking my socks up and being a little bit more delightful to be around.
I first of all, couldn't agree more. And second of all, found that line to be quintessentially Samantha. I got a real kick out of it today. Fabulous. She's got the flourishes, which, you know, they tell me why she was as popular and such a sort of breakout star as she was. Samantha is she's a joy de vivre. That is, you know, there's a draw. It's the person you'd most want to emulate of all the characters, and I think that's why people will desperately want to be categorized as a Samantha.
Hell yeah.
She's also,
what was the falling out that she had with SJP in real life? Did someone's family member passed away? I can't even remember.
I don't know the origins of it either. I thought it was to do with SJP.
What's the actress's name who plays Samantha? I've forgotten.
Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
I thought it was to do with money and screen time, because SJP was an executive producer. But I don't know enough.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But before we get off screen, I'd like to continue discussing the film on screen. Samantha's the only character who displays any competence at her job in this movie.
Yeah, true. Miranda's got a lot of... there's a lot of nods to the fact that she must be good to be in there.
Well, no,
she's always very stressed about it.
Yeah, that doesn't suggest she's good.
Yeah,
someone
true.
Who's constantly stressed and talking about their work while simultaneously never doing their work is the very definition of someone who's bad at their job. Samantha at the wedding, and like, we don't even see her applying her skills professionally. We see a lot of images of Smith Garrett, who, as another insert, can I say, fucking slamming hottie. Those opening credits when you see him from the series and he's got long hair. Him with long hair is a big yes please.
Which bit? Oh, the very start, the credits.
Yeah,
the
Yeah. It's like, it's not a full frame shot. It's an insert of him. So at the wedding, when Big jilts Carrie, Samantha immediately
steps jilts, into the... Stop saying jilts, man. They've given you that word. Use your own language. I don't like that you've adapted adopted jilts from the film.
I haven't. Jilt is, that's common language. That's in, is the it? Bloody, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Best. Maybe it just sticks out for me. They say it so many times. I'm like, who the fuck says jilt?
It's the,
like,
it's,
that is not a verb in common usage.
No, because it's not a behavior in common usage. Very rarely is there a genuine jilting. And so I think, and it's a nice word. So I think in the event of one happening, you know, what little light there is to glean through this thunderstorm is that we can throw the word jilt around willy-nilly. So,
do you think you're jilted by Runkle's tie?
Oh, no. Certainly frustrated.
I've really thrown a pigeon in the mix, haven't I?
Yeah, yeah. But no, so at the wedding, Samantha says after the jilting, she immediately steps into problem-solving mode. She's obviously familiar with delegation. She just really flexes. She says, you take her and I'll stay here and deal with all
and
of this.
And deal with all of this. I love it, eh?
She gives away the smaller, easier job. I mean, it's no small job, you know, comforting a friend who's gone through the most traumatic emotional experience of their life. But it's certainly not addressing everyone at quite a large, upscale wedding and saying, look,
201 guests, if Big did invite the contractor, as Carrie sarcastically suggested. If not, 200.
I don't think Big can understand sarcasm, so I have no doubt he invited the contractor.
Angrily.
Yeah. But I really like that she thrives under pressure. The only time when we see her not, like a similar application, is when they arrive at the honeymoon and the man who sort of attends the house or whatever hotel says, I was expecting a Mr. and Mrs. Preston or something along those lines. And Samantha says, you'll be waiting a long time, takes a drink from him, we'll talk. And I think her priorities are out of line there. I think she puts sass before functionality or substance, because we then see, you know, the caperish fallout of this, which is
the house is already prepared, the damage is done, guy. It's not going to be undone by telling the guy who greets you at the door. I think her priorities in that moment are what defines Samantha Jones. That right there, that is Samantha in her element.
It's true. I guess, yeah. I just think it's when they run into the room and they see all the rose petals and stuff and they clean it up and they go, no more honeymoon stuff. I'm like, just say it on the way in. You know, he's got a team of people.
True. Get the word around the workers, if you will.
Absolutely. But yeah, that's my bit.
I wish we saw more of Mexico when we're in Mexico, just while we're there.
Beyond the hotel.
I don't think it was shot Mexico, not for a damn second. I've been in more like Mexican feeling restaurants in Los Angeles than the one that's depicted on screen.
I think we
and
see
And I've
their,
been to Mexico.
I think we see their Mexico. I genuinely believe
of it.
That's how they holiday there. And I'm inclined to agree, but I don't know what the budget was in this movie, but it's something ludicrous. How could they not go to Mexico? Why wouldn't they?
It'd be huge. Absolutely. And also, they probably shot it, you know, in LA. It's not fucking far.
No, I would actually think they probably shot it in New York mostly. Just because of where the movie's
true,
set.
Of course. My bad.
No,
that's right.
Not at all.
The other coast. But if you're going to do... I mean, do you know what? I feel like someone gave them that note and they fucking took it to heart on the second movie. They're like, righto, locations is what you want, huh?
Yeah, there are parallels
all right,
between
well,
the
well,
two.
Well, why don't we fucking pack up this whole operation and these four gals, put them in a box and send them to Morocco, and then tell you that it's Abu Dhabi? How about that?
Do you know what would be great? Screen to screen. Get them up at the same time. I want to map out the beats as they come. I want to see when they go to Abu Dhabi against when they go to Mexico.
Yes.
I want to see how they treat the respective staff at respective resorts. There are lessons to be learned.
Okay, here's what I can do to help that guy. They're a very similar length. They're not identical. What I could do maybe is cut together, I'll get the two files, jam them together side by side, and maybe put all the sound from one movie in the left ear and all of the sound from the other movie in the right. So you can pick what one you want to listen to just by moving the cups around.
If you design that, my promise to you is I will watch both with both ears in the whole time.
Done. My dude. Oh, this is a Faustian bargain.
That is, that's not Faustian. I'm not getting immortality. I've just signed myself up for the longest 2.5 hours of my life.
Doesn't Faustian just mean a deal with the devil? Or does it mean you're getting everlasting life out of it?
I always remember it as from Dr. Faustus, right? Which was a play where I think a man bargains for immortality, and it was then the inspiration for the movie Bedazzled. I could be wrong.
Wow, good knowledge. Bedazzled was that one with Liz Hurley, right?
It was originally a Peter Cook and Dudley Moore film, but there was then a Brendan Fraser and Liz Hurley version. What do you think of Brendan Fraser, by the way?
Mate, I read that, I think it was this year, there was a big write-up about, like, what the fuck happened to Brendan Fraser? And he was just on a ranch with his horses. He seems like a deeply simple man, but one who's kind of having a good time.
He's got a deeply simple face, but that article gave me a lot of respect from him. I think he went through quite a lot.
I can't remember the particulars. Do you remember?
I feel like he was potentially sexually harassed in some way.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
But anyway, he got really into horses and bow and arrows, and I'm all for that. No criticism over here.
He's just like, he's out there raising his daughter, right, on like a ranch. It's fucking cool, man. Because he was a bankable. Brendan Fraser, I think, is quite an inspiration for all of us, because he was a guy who got dangled just like paycheck after paycheck. He became, for a brief time, mainly from the Mummy franchise, very bankable. He went from this kind of ludicrous comedic relief star who had a hot bod, see George of the Jungle, to a legitimate kind of action star who could be relied upon to bring in the big bucks, see the Mummy. And then he kind of just realized he wasn't happy doing this. So he fucking bought a ranch and got some lovely horses. Good on him.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Anyway, sorry, what were you...
No.
Did we get to the bottom of Faustian, or was
much more interesting. I just wanted to say, you know, speaking of the sequel, is it possible? Could the show business be so cynical? Could Mattress Pikelet King be so cunning as to purely insert the kiss between Stanford and Anthony as set up for the sequel? Because that does not service the story whatsoever. There is no value to be gained from that kiss.
Here's what you got to keep remembering. We haven't seen all of the TV show, so there could be some stuff that we're missing from their relationship. True. I'll also tell you that at the very end, when we're at the second wedding for Carrie and Big in the cafe, they are sitting together. You don't see it for long, but you do see it.
That, to me, bolsters my theory.
That it doesn't mean anything.
It's a device popularized by the Marvel Cinematic Universe now, where they put little fucking teasers about what's to come next at the end of films. Because we also see the dog, who gets its own little sort of moment in Sex and the City 2. Samantha's
dog. One man's cash grab is another man's plot development of the universe, though, you know? I mean, it could just be a furthering of the story of a minor character. You're looking at it so cynically, though, which I enjoy.
Why bother? Like,
we're padding out the world, man.
We're not given enough time to care about either of them, really. Although, I mean, you're right, they are from the show. And I actually did, I'm going to dive straight into a shining light here.
Do it.
Is that Anthony or Anthony, by the way?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
I've been alternating pronunciations this series because I literally cannot figure it out. But he is the holder of the prestigious Guy Montgomery's shining light when they're preparing for the wedding. And he says, "Who let the dogs out? Get these dogs out of here. That's all we need is the lift of a leg on the train of a dress." He's all, like, he's in, especially in work mode. Him and Samantha both show themselves to be competent at their job. He's a character. He gets people to the wedding.
Though, I don't want to derail your wider point, because this isn't technically while he's at work, but when he is at the baby shower, he sees Samantha and without any self-censorship says, "Mother of God, what's with the gut?"
But that is, like, that is Samantha. Like, that, I feel like they're a more natural energy or friendship match, Samantha and Anthony, than Anthony and Charlotte, which seems somewhat like an odd coupling to me. Like, the
actually,
energy...
Actually, you're right.
The way they speak...
Samantha even does this exact thing to Miranda when Miranda's sitting out and reveals that she hasn't waxed her bikini line ahead of the Mexico trip. You're right. You are take your victory lap, Guy Montgomery. You've nailed it.
That'd be a great match. Yeah. But he really brought it. That line was a lot of fun.
Do you ever think about Who Let the Dogs Out the song when he says it? Because it's the only place my brain goes. Who let the dogs out?
It's a reference. Do you know that song is about women that are deemed ugly by the Baha men dancing at the club?
It doesn't shock me to hear.
But I always thought of the Baha men as bastions of equality and feminism. You know, real champions of the cause. And now you tell me I have to readdress the memories I've carried of this group?
Never met your heroes.
I thought they were worried about, I haven't met them, and they've been demoted. So I can meet them now because they're no longer my heroes. So actually, thanks a lot, Tim, because you've given me motivation to look up the Baha men, take them out for a coffee, talk to them.
You're welcome. Can I do my shining light, or it felt like you were winding up to a cool point. Do you have something you want to throw out?
Nah, dude. I just wanted to say, nah.
My shining light this week is the flight attendant on Samantha's flight as she's coming back from New York to Los Angeles the last time after she's broken up with Smith. Get it? And she's hoeing into she's in first class, hoeing into a little dessert out of a glass bowl. That fucking actress who's the flight attendant. I actually don't usually say actress. I say actor for both genders. I don't know why I said actress.
I think it's because we were talking about the Baha men. They've poisoned you.
Yeah, it's seeded into my brain. Fuck, she is good, man. I reckon she's going to be real funny in real life. She's got to be like an improviser or a very experienced comedic actor. Like, she's something special. She's on screen ever so briefly, but she absolutely nails her mark.
I love that. I'm going to look out for her
She's so good. She says, "Ma'am, we're about to land. I'm going to need to take that." And she does that beautiful disarming thing where you give a little wink as you say something. That's an instruction to take the bowl away. Samantha's having none of it, by the way, folks, if you haven't seen the movie. She wants to get every last calorie out of that bowl into her gob. But the flight attendant persists, and it's a funny tug of war over a crystal dessert bowl in first class. What a bit of poetry on a flight.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to that. Even in your retelling of the line, that little pause there, it's a real joy. And certainly, you know, while there's not always a lot to look forward to as we trudge through these, what are soon to be the adolescents of this season, the teenage years, you know, the moody, hormonal, boner-having, pubic hair-growing, pimply, oily, virginal, confused, terrified, you know, weeks, days, I mean, hours, who knows how it's going to shake out. It's nice to have these little benchmarks to look forward to and judge one another on. Speaking of, a little Easter egg for you to look for next time is when they're unpacking Carrie's apartment, you know, in the heady days of the promise of marriage and heaven on fifth, and Samantha puts on Walk This Way by, I think, Aerosmith and Run DMC.
Run DMC, you got it.
Just, Is it just Run DMC or is it with Aerosmith? Am I imagining that?
Do you know what? I think that song is not only a sample from Aerosmith. I think Aerosmith like came on the track with them.
Yeah.
So yeah. But either way, it is Aerosmith and Run DMC.
Fast learning to hate with every atom of my being. There's an LP in the background as the camera pulls away from the close-up on the CD player. And on the LP, I had to pause it because I was like, what is he doing there? Because I thought I'd seen Noel Fielding across the front of an LP.
Of the Mighty Boosh?
Yes, on a weird comedy LP that SJP was keeping on hand. And I was like, wow, that's a really obscure detail. And then I looked a little closer and noticed that it was, in fact, Joan Jett. The album cover being for her album I Love Rock and Roll. Mm. And Noel Fielding has 100% jacked her style. If you look at this album cover, I'm going to send it to you right now, actually, Tim.
It is
a carbon copy. Anyway, certainly something to look for. Actually, I could not show it to you now and you could treat yourself later, or do you want me to send it to you now?
No, send it to me now, mate. Why wait for dessert when dessert can be served right now?
Because the waiting makes it sweeter. You got it.
Did you send it or not? Oh, no, you've just sent me. Oh, you could not be more right. Holy shit. That could be Noel Fielding. Like, even in the photo. So
it's remarkable.
What you're looking for, folks, if you're Googling at home, if you got your phone out and you're looking on Google image search, you're looking for Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll, you'll see it immediately. It's the pink blazer with a black shirt underneath. She's got a little chain and a neckerchief. And that could be Noel Fielding.
Genuine dead ringer.
Everyone thinks he's so fucking original, but he's just been ripping Joan Jett the whole time.
That's right. If you watch back The Mighty Boosh, it's just, you know, the same lyrics reassembled into entire television shows.
Have you ever seen, I can't remember the comedian who does it, but it's on one of the panel shows, like, what's that one called? 8.5 Cats? That's what it's called?
I think what you're describing is Simon Amstel roasting him on Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
That's it. He absolutely devastates him by doing... If you're a comedian, the worst thing anyone could do is figure out exactly the thing that you do to create all your jokes and then articulate that, and he does it so fucking deftly. Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Great clip.
It's
at any rate,
really impressive.
I know you've got to go pretty much now,
oh,
Guy,
shit.
But can I...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you do. I just... This is probably too big a question to throw at you right now, but I'm doing it anyway. Where do you put this movie right now on the Ninth Watch against the pantheon of worst idea films?
It's not really a fair comparison. It lands in second. Grown Ups 2 is first just because it was so long ago.
I want to watch it, eh?
I'd watch it and I've got... I'd have positive memories. Sex and the City, the film, I think no matter how dire and toxic this relationship becomes, I would like to go on record as saying, you know, inarguably a better piece of filmmaking than Sex and the City 2. We Are Your Friends. Those wounds are still fresh. So I can't really... I still would sooner not have anything to do with that movie. So I'd say it's second. What about you?
You've summed that up beautifully. It's like hearing my own thoughts vocalized through your voice. Yeah. No, you've got it spot on. Well, look, on that note, I don't know how to characterize it. It's not quite depressing because we have accepted that this isn't the worst film we're going to engage with in this project. Nonetheless, there's a long road to hoe, Guy Montgomery. Let us get on with our lives ever so briefly before our next watch. This is taking a vastly different style of time away from us than the previous two projects, which were a watch a week. We are currently doing a watch a day. It's unpleasant. it's logistically quite difficult, and it is putting a strain on external relationships. But the experiment must continue.
That's right. I'd just like to end this episode with the same quote that Carrie Bradshaw uses to end the entirety of the movie, which is some of the most fucking horseshit baloney I've ever heard, which is that maybe some labels are best left in the closet. Maybe when we label people, bride, groom, husband, wife, married, single, we forget to look past the label to the person. Maybe that's your fucking problem, Carrie. Don't lump me in with that horse shit. I see people. Thank you. Good night.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out. And we go for it.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.